brother Michael O'Neill McGrath is an oblate of St. Francis de Sales and an artist who lives in Washington, D.C. Brother Michael creates beautiful church art and illustrations and writes his own books. He is the author of the best-selling series Patrons and Protectors. He's a much sought-after speaker and educator, and it is my pleasure to welcome Brother Michael to Catholic Forum this morning. Good morning, brother.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here.
Well, glad to be here.
Tell us about your background and about your marvelous artistic gifts. Is it something you were just born with or something you had to work at?
both, actually. but I've been an artist ever since I can remember. And as I always share in my talks and presentations, my earliest memories of childhood are sitting on the living room floor underneath my mother's ironing board and drawing and coloring. My dad worked for Sears and used to bring paper home from work, and that's where I learned to become an artist. I turned it over on the blank side and just drew away. I could do that for hours when I was a kid.
Now, you grew up in Philadelphia?
I did, yeah.
And did you inherit this from someone? Is there anyone in your family?
No, curiously, neither parent nor any of their siblings had any kind of artistic talent. Although my dad, after he retired, expressed interest in, he took a drawing class, and he was always embarrassed to show me his stuff. I'd go home every Sunday and anxious to see what he had done in school that week, you know. And he was always kind of shy about it. And he was doing real good stuff, but he gave me the art supplies that he had for the class and never took another one. So, but that's the only indication from either parent of any artistic interest. So.
Did you want to be an artist from the time you were a small child?
Yeah, I did. I always loved books especially. So I tend to concentrate my energies in publishing more so than exhibiting. I'll exhibit occasionally, but most of what I do is in the publishing world, and that comes from childhood, you know, just loving the illustrated books and picture books, which I still love today, you know. I love looking at children's books.
Tell us about your call to religious life. How did that come about?
Well, I went to an oblate of St. Francis de Sales, and I went to an oblate high school, and I think all through high school, I guess I was torn between whether I was going to enter religious life after high school or go to art school, you know, and pursue art at an art college somewhere. But I obviously decided on the oblates. I just finished my 25th anniversary year. And
congratulations.
Well, thank you. And it's just something I knew I wanted to do. I don't know how else to describe that, you know. It's just the old-fashioned sense of call that you hear about. And it just always seemed like the right thing, and continues to feel that way.
Was that unusual for an artist to be called to religious life, do you think, or have you run into other artists?
We are out there. But I was told from the beginning, I remember people said it right to my face, that, you'll never last here. Artists are always the first to go. And I was the type to think, I'll show you. I'm going to stay around no matter how miserable I am forever. I'm going to stay and prove that artists can make it. And it was very true back in the day, I think, when the life was so centered on schedules and structure and uniformity, I guess, was the big thing. That was the value that was held up in religious life in the old days. You know, everybody was the same. And artists, of course, would never fit into that.
Right.
So, but now things are so different now, and that I've evolved with the religious life, I guess, you know, and now it's the opposite is true. You know, I think we are at a spot where we celebrate the unique talents and gifts of each of us. So I meet many religious artists.
Great. Now, you've created beautiful posters and church art and books and note cards and just wonderful things, but your latest creation is a series of books called Patrons and Protectors. Now, tell us about that. Who are the books written for? Are they for children or for adults or for all of the above?
I like to think of them as children's books for adults. I know many, many adults that love looking at beautiful children's books, as I do.
Uh-huh.
And so I've always thought it'd be a great idea to create books that have the look and feel maybe of a children's book with beautiful illustrations, but that are could speak to adult spiritual sensibilities, you know. So that's when I pitched this idea to the publisher, the Patrons and Protectors idea, I shopped it around to many different publishers, and they didn't know, most publishers loved the idea of it, but they didn't know what shelf it was going to go on, in a sense. You know, it's like the adult publishers were saying, oh, this is a children's book, and children's publishers were saying, this is too sophisticated for kids, it's an adult thing, and they were they're all kind of afraid to take the risk because they are very different, you know, showing the saints in contemporary settings and flying airplanes and working on computers and all that. But the publisher, Liturgy Training Publications, that finally ended up doing them, kind of saw what I was seeing all along, that they were exciting and different. And so we pitched them towards, geared them towards confirmation age kids and up.
Uh-huh.
But what I've discovered is that adults are giving them as gifts for each other, to each other, and adults love them too, because it's a very different take on the saints that they learned about as children. You know.
So you would take a saint, maybe who lived 500-600 years ago, and put them in a contemporary setting in the
book?
That's
right. The first two volumes were patrons of careers and occupations.
Uh-huh.
So I would show that saint in the contemporary setting, like St. Margaret of Clitheroe, who lived in the 1600s in England, 1500s, is the patron saint of business women. So she's on a cell phone and has a briefcase and all that in her seat. So that's what I've kind of done with them. And it's my way of saying that the saints are, you know, which is what the Catholic belief is, about the communion of saints, that they cross time and space, you know, that they're mm-hmm. with us still, that our loved ones who are gone home to heaven are still with us, you know.
So there are three books in the series?
There are three now. Yeah, the third one, instead of occupations, is called Saints in Times of Need.
And what is that about?
Well, it shows patrons of all various problems that we have. Agatha for breast cancer, for example, is running a race for the cure. And the unique feature in each of the picture books, or each of the pictures in the books, is the Holy Spirit is somewhere in the picture. And instead of a traditional halo, they have something around their head that kind of comes out of their world or their patronage, you know. Mm-hmm. So Agatha is wearing a pink ribbon, you know, for breast cancer awareness, and the Holy Spirit is passed out under a tree because he's run the race and he's kind of exhausted. So there's a lot of whimsy in them, but this third volume is a little more serious because of the topics, you know, cancer mm-hmm. and asthma and lost articles. St. Anthony, the patron of lost articles, is in there looking for his car keys.
That's great. And not only is it whimsical illustrations, but there's also information about the
saint. Absolutely.
Right.
And I think and they're not just whimsy. I think that's the beauty of the books, at least for me anyhow, is that the whimsy's there, but I take my whimsy very seriously, you know what I mean? It's kind of, I'd like these to be inspirational, prayerful books as well.
Speaking of inspirational, where do you get your ideas?
Mostly from readings. Mm-hmm. When I read the stories of saints, I have so many saint books now, and each one has a different story that you don't read in another, you know, a lot of them have the same ones, but I like reading the ones that we don't normally hear about, where it gives you a little different twist on the person, and it kind of makes them more human, you know, when you get beneath all the pious stuff and, mm-hmm. and hear the human drama of their lives, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's when I read that the ideas come.
Mm-hmm. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Catholic Forum. I'm Bob Krebs, and this morning my guest is Brother Michael O'Neill McGrath, who is an oblate of St. Francis de Sales. And, you know, here in Wilmington, we are certainly familiar with the oblates. We're blessed to have so many of them working in our area. And we're talking, and Brother Michael is a wonderful artist, and his latest book is Patrons and Protectors in Times of Need. And that's available from, who's your publisher?
Liturgy Training Publications in Chicago.
In Chicago. What's next?
You could also get it through my own company, which is BeStill.com, right there in Childs, Maryland. That's actually where everything is shipped out of.
Oh, right out of the spiritual center?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Great, and it's BeStill.com, BeStill.com. I was just on the website this morning, and you do good work.
Thanks.
Beautiful, beautiful stuff. What are you working on now?
Well, just 2 days ago or so, I pitched in the last page, sent in the last page of a book on Mary.
Oh, wow.
That's a series of paintings. It started with a series of paintings that I began, I guess, 5 years ago now, and it's 20 images of Mary, and it's going to be an adult prayer book, a picture book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to, the written prayers are being contributed by a well-known priest in liturgical circles named Richard Fragamini.
Mm-hmm.
He is out in Chicago, and he's writing the prayers. I'm writing text to explain the symbols and the pictures and the titles, but it's taking the ancient titles of Mary from the litany, like Gate of Heaven and Star of the Sea and all those kinds of titles that we're very familiar with, but kind of putting my own, I guess, my own personal twist on them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be published by World Library Publications.
Great. And how about after that? Do you have
Well, I'm kind of thinking about maybe another fourth volume of the Saint series, because they've been so popular.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking it'd be fun to do one of Saints Having Fun and Saints in the Good Times, maybe, since this one was kind of a heavy topic, so the next one might be kind of light. So... that's one of the things I'm thinking about, yeah.
How do you work, Brother Michael? Do you work every day? Do you paint every day, or is it mostly morning or evening? Or
well, I like to paint in the morning. I try to do it every day. I kind of have to if I'm on a deadline. But a lot of my work anymore, too, is taken up with travel. I do a lot of retreats and parish missions, and so I'm on the road quite a bit, probably. Well, it's fine. So, but when I'm home, it means I have to really concentrate my energies more, you know, because I have limited time. So, tend to paint all day when I'm on a project.
Does it ever become, less fun when you have to do it? You're on a deadline.
Yeah, it can be, but I still love my work. So, I think that's, you know, when it's true of anybody that loves what they do. You kind of put up with the. Annoying stuff, even the deadlines and all that. I've just learned to. It's just become second nature now to work with deadlines, and you know, just
right.
The nature of it all. So you just go with it. You know, I have no choice. So I might as well enjoy it. I figure, you know.
Now, as you travel around and give parish missions and workshops, your topic is about art and,
that's right.
And prayer and faith.
That's right.
Bringing that together. How does that work? Give us just a little
well,
bit
I share. Art and story, and I'll show my paintings and then share the stories behind them or what I was going through at the time. For example, the grieving process when my parents each died and how that came out in the art. And but my point is always two main points are that is to emphasize that each of us has a gift of some kind. That we all have some kind of a gift or talent that is in our hearts, and it's that thing that gives us pleasure, you know, mm-hmm. and makes us feel good no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what stress we have or grief or anxieties that we're going through or brokenheartedness, that we have a gift that can pull us through, you
mm-hmm.
know, and help us find peace at the root of it.
Mm-hmm.
So art is prayer for me, and that's mm-hmm. the other point I'm always making, that it can be any creative activity that we do, not just painting, is healing.
Well, thanks so much, Brother Michael O'Neill McGrath, for being my guest this morning on Catholic Forum. One more time, if our listeners would like to get more information about your ministry or to see your work or to purchase your books or your other products, Christmas is coming up. You have a line of beautiful Christmas cards.
Yeah.
All that through BeStill.com?
That's right. Beast with two E's. BeStill.com is the website. And the phone number in Childs, Maryland is 410-398-3057.
Do you have a retail store there by any chance, or a gift shop?
No, we don't.
Yeah, it's all mail order.
That's right.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Very good. Thanks so much, Brother Michael O'Neill McGrath, for being my guest this morning on Catholic Forum.
Thanks.